When I first started covering Southeast Asia in the late 1980s, technology was definitely on the side of the powerful. But it was never a clear-cut equation. The generals of Burma have long understood the need to keep a tight grip on technology. Since most journalists couldn't get into the country to report on the uprising in 1988, we had to rely on phone connections from Bangkok, of which there were only half a dozen. That meant only tidbits of information found their way out, a situation that hasn't changed much in the intervening 17 years. Phone lines are still scarce, and internet connections are tightly controlled. Not every authoritarian government has kept such a tight rein. When I arrived in Indonesia in 1993, the internet was already beginning to take off. I had an email account which gave me access to academics, activists, and Indonesians overseas, as well as a handful of non-government groups inside the country. Nobody really understood its power, including news organizations themselves, but East Timorese resistance figures did. Suddenly there was another way of getting information out of the closed-off territory, enabling us Jakarta-based journalists to get a degree of balance into our stories. The Indonesian government hated it, of course, but never seemed to figure out how to stop it. Indonesian activists used the same tools when magazines like Tempo were closed down in 1994, distributing their information via email lists. Of course, the internet was still an elite tool and didn't contribute much to the fall of President Suharto. 1998 was the beginning of the cell phone in Indonesia, but because not every politician, activist, or general had it, it was less about the haves and the have-nots, as about those who had cell phones and those who didn't. Suharto, armed only with a landline and a shrinking coterie of aging loyalists, lost valuable time trying to corral together a cabinet of reformists, while his younger and savvier opponents were zipping around the city, coordinating their parleys via cell phone. Suharto, old and out of touch amid a financial crisis, may have fallen anyway, but in a whirlwind of fast-moving events, fortune favored the players with the better technology. This doesn't mean technology always favors the democratic. In Indonesia, the cell phone has become ubiquitous and classless, which should make it a powerful populist tool. But it's not always so. Less than 18 months after Suharto's fall, a frail cleric, Abdurrahman Wahid, was able to snatch power because he could cut secret deals in the space of a few hours, mainly through the use of the cell phone. Parliamentarians have learnt that lesson well. They now conduct business as much via SMS short message as they do in session. And we shouldn't forget the most significant use of the cell phone in Indonesia in this millennium may have been the planning, execution, and detonation of terrorist bombs. Technology, it seems, is no longer always on the side of the powerful.